morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you today on this day that the Lord has made, and we truly can rejoice and be glad in it. Just say amen if you're just excited to be alive and saved. God has just been so, so good to us. I just want to thank you so much for staying connected to ebcnc.com. Thank you for just your prayers. The Lord has blessed us tremendously. We've got things that are going on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We've got our Sunday at 8:45 in person, and our 10:45 in person, and our 10 o'clock online. The Lord is just doing tremendous things. Also, I have a special announcement for you. This is the Lent season, and we're going to be celebrating with a fellowship of churches, an in-person service on April the 14th at 7 p.m. April the 14th at 7 p.m. And we're going to have the Reverend Dr. Pastor John Wayne Howard to come. He's one of our own from Ebenezer, and he'll be doing that service, ministering and speaking into our lives on that night at 7 p.m. It's going to be live stream. Again, we are connected with some fellowship of churches, and so it will be live stream. So you'll be able to see that from wherever you are. But also, we invite you, if you would like to come in person, we'll be at Ebenezer Sanctuary on that April 14th at 7 p.m. And again, celebrating Maundy Thursday. And that is the correct spelling as we think about the resurrection time and what Christ has done for us. Also, I want to give another announcement. On the following Thursday, we're going to start in-person Bible studies again. That following Thursday, which would be April 21st, and it will be at 6 p.m. I want to give an opportunity for those who desire in-person Bible study where you can ask questions and read all of those things together. It'll start on the 21st at 6 p.m. And we're just going to call it TBS, Thursday Bible Study, as we are just doing, striving to hear all that God would have us to do as a church family. Thank you so much for your giving. God loves a cheerful giving. Thank you for your support for the ministry, not just in physical giving, but also texting people, calling people, encouraging people. Please continue to pray for the sick, the shut in, the nursing facilities. There is a tremendous lacking in just support in a lot of the nursing facilities workers. And when there are not enough workers within those nursing facilities, our loved ones sometimes are neglected. So we want to pray for them and lift them up. Well, I am thinking about God's word that he's put on my heart, placed on my heart today as we're thinking about getting closer to the Lord. That cleft in the rock, that's where we're going again, going to the rock. We were with Moses on last Sunday, and today we're going to be with someone else who desired a closer walk with the Lord. Well, we'll see you soon.
Good morning. I will be reading from 2 John chapter 1, verse 3 through, I think it's going to be 13. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of you children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. Thank you.
Well, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me. You brought me from a mighty long ways. Well, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me from a mighty long ways. Well, you've been my mother. You've been my father. You've been my sister and brother too. Lord, you know you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long ways. A mighty long. Oh, yes, you've been my mother. You've been my father. You've been my sister and brother too. Lord, you know you brought me from a mighty long way. Well, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me. You brought me from a mighty long ways. Oh, yes, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yeah, you know you brought me from a mighty long way. Thank you. Amen.
The Lord is so wonderful. He desires us to have a closer walk with Him. And I encourage you as we go through this message today to really allow God's light to shine on you, that you can really decide and really reach more and more to be more like Him. He is a wonderful, wonderful God by sending His Son Jesus to die for us and being resurrected on that third day with all power so that we could go boldly to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. As we get into today's lesson, I want you to just walk with us. On last Sunday, we dealt with Moses and his desire to get closer to the Lord, his desire to know more of God. Remember that verse. He said, "Show me your glory." Today, I want you to focus in on the scripture, 1 Kings chapter 19, and the 11th verse. So while you're getting all your things together, I want you to please just go in a word of prayer with me. Father, thank you for this time with your holy word. Thank you, God, for using prophets and priests, Lord, and all kinds of people to hear your voice, Lord, that desire to be closer to you. Now, Lord, as we enter into this word, I ask you to save souls. Maybe there's someone that is looking in that doesn't know you. Would you help today, allow today to be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, I sent you already here. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We love you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings 19 and 11, it reads, "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Isn't that good? After the fire, a still small voice. I want to speak from a title today, The Voice of the Lord. The Voice of the Lord. It is so significant that we desire to hear the voice of the Lord. Today's time frame is about 874 to 853 BC. We pick it up in the Israelite history, a dark period. King Ahab is actually in charge at this point, just a wicked king. Marries a wicked wife, Queen Jezebel. We're going to talk more about her. And God sees all of this happening to his nation, so he sends a prophet, the prophet Elijah. He's a miracle man. He brings forth judgments. He actually prays, and judgment of God comes forth with a drought. He prays again, and God lifts up that drought. We see him on the mountain in battle with these particular Baal priests of Jezebel and Ashtoreth priests. They were going against God's will, and there God shows up in fire and licks up rocks and shows his authority there. And Elijah is on the precipice of power and anointing, and God just following the presence of the Lord, hearing God's voice. And so here we transition into this particular scripture, because it's so striking that he is at this spiritual high. He is at this closeness with the Lord. And I want to give you some insight, man. You can always go deeper in the Lord. The enemy knows how to hit you. Even when you, how many times have you heard the word of God, or you've been in the presence of the Lord, and then immediately as you come out and you've got the presence of the Lord, the enemy comes in and you find yourself vacillating, going back and forth, fighting with the enemy. Here, 1 Kings 19 and 1 pulls in this great prophet Elijah. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.'" Here's our first point: life challenges. Yes, life challenges. Jezebel is actually a Phoenician princess, and she had brought in her idol worship, gods that were contrary. God says, "I have no other god before me," but Jezebel did not care. Here, she actually marries King Ahab, as said before, and entices him away from Jehovah, the one true God. Remember, if you go back in the scripture, she had employed 450 prophets, Baal, and 400 prophets of Asherah. And then Elijah is used of God to bring judgment upon them. They're all wiped out. And so she is upset when she finds out about this information. And she tells Elijah, she sends a message to him. She said, "You're going to be dead by tomorrow." She gives him a kind of a 24-hour period. "You're going to be out of here. I'm putting a hitman on you." And at this point, at this spiritual high, all of a sudden, Elijah begins to shake. And all of us need to realize, anytime we start to walk away from the Lord, or we get into doubt, doubt and faith really don't interact together at the same time. And this is what Elijah's up against. It's interesting to know at this point that the idol worship has been pushed back, that the Baal worships have been gotten rid of, the Asherah worshipers have been gotten rid of. This would be the time of revival. This would be the time of rejuvenation. And I want to ask you, what life pressures are coming against you? What things are coming in your life right now that really you sense God's presence and you know God is real, but it seems like things are hitting at you? And I want to encourage you to draw closer to the Lord, because your breakthrough is on the way. And even with Elijah at this point, God is still going to show him something amazing. Here's a word of encouragement for you. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That 11th verse, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He will come in so quickly." 12th verse, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That 13th verse, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Elijah at this point, really, the enemy hits him hard with this death threat from this Jezebel, which has authority to actually do this. But please understand, God's authority always supersedes man's authority. Let me show you 1 Kings 19:3. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Here's a point. It's a big point. Please get this one. The spirit of fear. Yes, the spirit of fear. At this point, Elijah has a choice. He has a choice to continue to walk in the power and authority of God and to believe and trust the Lord that God has protected him, shown him all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders, or he can lean to his flesh. He can lean to that fearful side of him that's concerned about this death threat upon his life. And so he goes to that side and he runs for his life from Jezreel to the south across the land to Beersheba. Literally, he goes about 100 miles away from the situation. He's running, trying to get away at the southern border of Judah, trying to get away from Jezebel, trying to outrun his fear, in essence. Never forget this, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You remember that? Distractions and fears. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But here we see that as he's running in fear, that his mind is not right. He's struggling with so many things. Woodrow Kroll, he writes this powerful quote. He says, how often mountaintops of spiritual victory are followed by valleys and deserts of testing. Can I read that again for you? How often mountaintops of spiritual victory are followed by valleys of deserts and testings. As I've been encouraging you to get closer to the Lord, just a closer walk with thee, please know the enemy is going to come in. The enemy is going to bring forth tests upon your life, but understand we have the voice of the Lord. Look at 1 Kings 19:4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Listen to this, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Here's a point. Real prayers. Yes, real prayers. I love this portion of scripture, and we're going to dig into it on so many levels. But I'm telling you, God wants us to pray. He wants us to express ourselves to him. So many times we can pray habitual prayers. Habitual prayers are just prayers that we say over and over, kind of like prayers before our food, at when we pray over our food. And oftentimes we don't even think about the implications. We just kind of say it because it's a habit. But I'm telling you, if there was a thought and you were in a foreign country, and they put some food before you and you were a little concerned about if some things that were in there that could actually mess up your stomach, I believe your prayers would change praying over that food. Man, you would use the name of Jesus and you would focus in. And here we find and we see Elijah exposing his heart to the Lord. Elijah is in the wilderness all by himself, left his servant, and there he's going to have an encounter with God. He's under a broom tree, and this is important. Broom trees could, in that time, could actually grow to about 10 feet. And this shows God's provision, God's protecting. Even in this low point, even in this fearful point in his life, God is saying, I got you. I'm covering you. Notice here that portion of scripture, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Saints of God, I want you to realize that even the greatest of us can hit low points like this. Yes, that's why we got to have a closer walk with the Lord. We've got to hear the voice of the Lord. Here is Elijah, the miracle man that has been used mightily of the Lord. We find him at the lowest state, and it didn't take long. And all of us, please realize, we cannot depend on this flesh. It says that flesh, it wars against the spirit. And if we're not careful, the flesh will rise up and we'll find ourselves in places that we never thought we'd be. There ought to be some amens. You can put amen in the chat. I'm telling you, God knows our struggles, and I'm so glad for his grace and mercy. Warren Wiersbe, he writes this. He says, sometimes we feel so depressed about our work and ourselves that we wish God would call us home. Of course, had Elijah really wanted to die, Jezebel would have gladly accommodated him. But Elijah was not the only one to feel that way. Moses wanted to die, and so did Job and Jeremiah and Jonah. Of course, this is not the answer to despair, because it is selfish and does not glorify God. I'm telling you, when you find yourself in the midst of despair and struggle, man, get closer to the Lord. Don't run from him. Cry out to him. Pray to him. Ask him to be there. And I'm telling you, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And there's some witness out there know that God is there. Even when we feel that he's far away, he is right there with us. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you just type rest when you're in your living room? Just say rest. He will give you rest. So in those struggles, in those heavens where the enemy is coming at you, run to the Lord, the voice of the Lord. Look at 1 Kings 19:5. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Here's a point. We kind of alluded to this earlier. God will provide. Yes, God will provide. Notice, Elijah did not have to feed himself. It was already prepared. There ought to be some shouts of praise. It was already prepared in this low state, in this struggle. He's cried out to the Lord, and God is providing for him, feeding him. Doesn't the Lord speak this in Psalms 23:5? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I'm telling you, as you're fighting in prayer and getting closer to the Lord, never forget to look at the provisions that he has placed in your life. Never forget of the good things that he's already done for you. Never forget the blessings and the places that he's brought you through. Never forget the valleys that he's brought you through and the rivers he's caused you to cross. I'm telling you, our God is faithful, the voice of the Lord. Look at 1 Kings 19:7 as it unfolds a little further. It says, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And so he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food. Listen to this, 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb and the mountain of God. I love this point. Supernatural power. Yes, yes, yes. Supernatural power. But notice here, again within that, he gets a feeding from the Lord. He went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. He was able, I looked at that distance, he was able to go about 200 miles in 40 days and 40 nights on that food. Somebody ought to shout and say, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, God will provide, even though he's going through these struggles, even though he's battling a spirit of fear, even though he is on the run. God is taking him to a place of a climax with the Lord, a climax in the presence of God, to really sense his power and his authority. The Lord just put this on my heart. He says, when we connect with God in prayer, things change. Yes, yes. When we connect with God in prayer, things change. I encourage you to get in prayer and labor before him, because things will change in your life. Apostle Paul, he found himself in the battle of his life. I'm telling you, but he tapped into that supernatural power. Let me show you 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Paul the apostle found himself in the struggle of his life. He said a messenger of Satan was attacking him. Notice this 8th verse. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He cries out in prayer. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. He says, God, I need to hear you. I need you to remove this situation. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Could you just type grace? Could you scream out grace wherever you are? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm talking about supernatural power. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. I love this. Please get this. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. No matter where you find yourself in, I'm telling you, God can make you strong. Stay with the Lord. Listen for the voice of the Lord. There ought to be a lot of praises in this place. Some of you are walking right now in supernatural power. I know we're in the midst, and some say we've come out of COVID-19. It's still here, but there are other things. There are other struggles within our lives. There are mean people that are around us. There are job struggles, vision struggles, but I want you to just think of how good God has been to you. I want you to think how God has opened up doors that were shut for you. I want you to think how God has brought you to this point. And I'm telling you, there needs to be some praise. There needs to be some thanks that you can just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I thank you for your voice in my life. Look at 1 Kings 19:9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord, and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I'm telling you, God does that. Man, when we start to communicate with him and getting closer to the Lord, man, he talks to us and he challenges us. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? 1 Kings 19:10, we see the heart again of Elijah, this connection with the Lord. He says, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. His point is a point, feeling all alone. Yes, feeling all alone. He's dealing with fear. Even though God is providing for him and has given him supernatural power, he's still struggling. He feels like he's the only one left, the only one that loves the Lord. And I want you to know, I know this world is dark, and I know there's some struggles, but there are a lot of people that love the Lord. There are a lot of people that are seeking his face. You just got to realize, yes, the scripture talks about that we meet a passerby every now and then, but there's some saints that are loving God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I want you to be encouraged. Courage to keep seeking the face of the Lord, because God has so much more for us. There are times that we can be so close to God. I said this earlier, but yet we can feel so far away from him. That's the enemy trying to get into our mind. And that's where our faith has to interact and draw us closer to the Lord. Even though our flesh is just feeling crazy, we can say, God, I lean to you. I trust you. 1 Kings 19:10, again, that second part. He says, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. You ever felt like that? As you look at this world and you see so many things. I was in a meeting the other day, and I was talking to a dear saint, and their heart began to come out, and they began to talk about how this world is so dark and how the scriptures are being fulfilled. And I could sense that despair on the inside. But I want you to know, God has allowed us to be in this season that his light can shine through us. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. Jesus actually struggled with loneliness in his ministry, even in the midst of having these disciples that were constantly around. And let me show you Matthew 26:37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Matthew 26:38. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Yes, just as Elijah is experiencing this struggle, Jesus experienced this struggle. Matthew 26:39, he went on a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. But look at this 40th verse. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Yes, he felt he was all along at this sense. Literally, they were asleep. But I'm so glad for the Father's voice. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Later, Jesus was actually crying on the cross of Calvary in Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The struggle is real. The problems can come at us, and we can have these life challenges, but we've got to hold on to the voice of the Lord. Please realize that the Lord is always with us. I've said that, and I want to encourage you more and more. God spoke through Moses to Israel in Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and be of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Isn't that good news? Isn't that a good word for shouting about, to know that God is with us? I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. Look at this final section as we pull it together in 1 Kings 19:11. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Final point of the day, and I'll pull this all together. He speaks. Yes, yes, yes. He speaks. The Lord speaks. So many are searching for God and miracles and signs and wonders and big things. And sometimes he does. He does move in miracles and signs and wonders and those big things. But I'm telling you, a majority of time, it happens in this still small voice. Let me show you in this scripture. It was not about the wind. It was not about the earthquake. It was not about the fire. But it was about that still small voice. Remember on last Sunday, if you were with us, Charles Miles in 1913. I just want to sum it. He said, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing." Well, as we pull this all together today, it's so good to know that the voice of the Lord changes everything. Elijah will get back on task, and he will be back on mission, and doing what God has called him to do. But I'm so happy that there's one greater than Elijah. We've already talked about him. You know his name is Jesus. Jesus actually explained his relationship with the voice of the Father in John 12:49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. Hearing the voice of the Father was so important to him that Jesus found himself in many points of solitude with the Father. Luke 6:12, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." But the voice of the Lord, it took him to miracles. It did take him to signs and wonders, but I'm so glad that he didn't stop there. The voice of the Lord took him in the Garden of Gethsemane. It took him past the betrayal. It took him through the beatings and the pain and the struggle for us. It took him to the cross of Calvary. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord, where he took nails in his hands and nails in his feet. On that cross of Calvary, all the suffering took place for us. He carried our sins and bore our griefs. But I'm so glad for the voice of the Lord, because even as he's hanging on that cross of Calvary, we see two thieves on the side, mean people, but one comes to himself, and he says, "You know what? When you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" But I'm so glad, even in the midst of the suffering, even in the midst of the struggles, even in the midst of carrying our sins, he speaks, because he hears the Father's voice. "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He dies on the cross of Calvary. They take his cold, limp body off the cross and put it in a borrowed grave. But I'm so glad to let you know the end of the story. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, beckoning us to hear his voice. Saints of God, the Lord has done so much for us. He's given us those who are saved through Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit. And He's saying, I am working in you right now. I desire you to get closer than you ever thought you could be, to be used in amazing ways. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. Saints, this is our season. In these times of struggles, there are so many people that are out there that don't know the Lord. And they're waiting to see an example. They're waiting for somebody to hear the voice of the Lord and speak with power and authority into their lives. That they're waiting for that. So many people are in despair, in struggles. Even some saints are going through that need other saints to encourage them. Will you be used of God? Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with the Lord. That's what He's asking from us. And maybe you're listening, you're veering in right now, and you're saying, man, I sense it, I feel it, but I don't know the Lord. What? How can I know Him? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. He said, you will be saved. You may say, Pastor, how do you know that's going to work? Because it worked for me, and it's worked for so many that called on the name of the Lord with sincerity, and God moved in. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord, that still small voice, that affirmation that we're saved. And then He says, it is a gift of God. Receive that gift today. Maybe you're saved today and you just need to be encouraged to get into more Bible reading, to get into more prayer, to get into more worship of God, to spend more time with Him, just a closer walk with Him, to hear His voice. I want to encourage you today. Oh, God is beckoning us all to walk closer to Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this word. Thank you, God, for the example of Elijah. Thank you, God, that even in the midst of despair and fear, you showed up in a mighty way. It wasn't in the earthquake, God. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the fire, but it was in that still small voice. And Lord, we ask you right now to speak to the hearts, Lord. Speak to the hearts that are listening. Speak to my heart more. Speak to us all, Lord, that we may be all that you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Thank you for victory today, Lord. Thank you, God, for all the beautiful things that you have prepared for us. We just give you praise. We give you honor and glory. Thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is a name I'd love to hear. I love to sing, it's a word, it sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, how He died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me what my in store every day, and though I tread a darksome path, feel sunshine all the way. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, 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 how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he turns to me. Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee. It's such a blessing to be able to have communion one with another, even on this virtual platform. I encourage you right now to go ahead and get your articles. If you don't have a particular communion cup from the church, please get your bread and your juice. And I want you to really, really meditate on the Lord, the voice of the Lord, hearing him. As we just are in his presence and thanking him for all that he is doing in our lives. As we get into the communion, always love to go into the scripture in 1 Corinthians 11:23 that really gives us a background, a foundation to what communion is all about. Paul the Apostle receives this immense revelation of the deepness of communion, and that it's all about Jesus. That 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." This is critical as he is in that upper room with his disciples, taking that bread, and it goes on, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And then he talks about the cup.
"In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
But notice this next part. This is where the examination process starts. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." We don't want that. So we want to make sure that we're not holding anything against anyone. There's not any unforgiveness. This is the time. You know, we're in this virtual platform. You can pause and call somebody up, text somebody up, say, "Forgive me," make sure everything's in place. And 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And that 1 Corinthians 11:29,
"For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep."
So we want to make sure we get this right. Paul the Apostle brings in, if we take this in an unworthy manner, literally we can bring curses within our lives. And this is what was happening within that Corinthian church. And that 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." And so this is this whole process. God has given us these scriptures so that we can really make sure that we're taking it in the proper manner. So I just want to pray over this bread and pray over the juice. And we're in God's presence. We want to think about him and what he did for us. Father, I thank you for this bread. I thank you for this juice. I thank you for your sacrifice at Calvary, in Jesus' name. When Jesus went into that upper room, the picture has been laid. He picks up the bread and he breaks it. He says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of him." Let us eat together. He gets the goblet that would be shared around the table. amongst each other, but he puts a special representation. He said, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of him." Let us drink together. Isn't it so good to know that we are saved, we have been delivered and set free? I want to encourage you as you go through your day to really, really lean into the Lord, listen to his voice, and do what he tells you to do. Get in the scriptures and meditate, for Jesus has paid an awesome price for us on Calvary. But I'm so glad to tell you, 3 days later, he got up with all power and glory for us, and he's interceding for us right now. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.